It began with a dream. As mind became one with the machine, our consciousness was immersed in a digital reality as real as any other. We struggled to keep spirit alive, but saturated by media, we lost our ability to dream and longed for escape from the ravaged earth. And so, it was given to us. A portal into a world of designer dreams, crafted for our escape. All who could afford the delights of the virtual fulfilled their desires in a realm of endless possibilities. A new breed of performer was born, whose dreams would be the opiate for the masses.
The following podcast contains some adult language and content. Proceed with caution. Hi, my name is Randy. I will be your host for this, my 31st episode of Infotainment. Welcome to all the fun, festivities, and frivolity that my regular listeners have come to love.
Ooh.
I'd like to welcome you, and especially you to the program today. And without further introduction, let's get started, shall we? First up on the podcast docket today is I'm going to talk about Leonard Nimoy, best known for his portrayal of Spock on the Star Trek franchise. As I hold up the greeting that Spock always gave when he met new people, live long and prosper, folks. I do that for all my listeners. You can't see this because it's radio, but you get the general idea. You know, the two fingers split. Since Leonard Nimoy's death, I guess people in Canada have been Spocking their $5 bills. They've been drawing pictures of Spock on their $5 notes. And the guy actually in the face kind of looks like Leonard Nimoy. And they just turned the upturned eyebrows and gave him a beard. And doing the Vulcan Jewish salute, doing that. But drawing on money is not a new thing, but Canadians have been asked ever so politely by bank officials if they could please stop Spocking their fives, even though it isn't illegal. And then they got pictures of how the bill looks like originally, and then all the different, and now there are plenty of the Prime Minister done up to look like the dearly departed Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. It looks pretty cool, actually. I'd like to get my hands on one. Now let's listen to some audio clips of Leonard Nimoy portraying Mr. Spock from the original Star Trek series.
Also seem to be a force field? Obviously. It extends some 30 feet beyond the figure in all directions. Conventional in composition. And quite formidable.
I don't agree with you at all, Mr. Spock.
That's not an unusual document.
Well, at least we found them.
Fortuitous, Captain. And now that we have them all together... Second degree burns. Not serious, but I bet they're smart.
Doctor, you have an unsurpassed talent for understatement.
Spock, I don't know too much about these little tribbles yet, but there is one thing that I have discovered.
What is that, Doctor?
I like them better than I like you.
Doctor?
Yes.
They do indeed have one redeeming characteristic.
What's that?
They do not talk too much.
What? Comment.
Very bad poetry, Captain.
A more useful comment, Mr. Spock.
500 of the same model. A
It seems rather redundant.
Doctor, I think I'll return to my station now.
You are at your station, Mr. Spock.
Dr. McCoy, I believe you're enjoying all this.
Indeed, Captain. I've never seen him look so happy.
Shut up!
It does something for you.
Yes, indeed it does, Captain. It makes me uncomfortable. I love you. However, I hate you.
But I am identical in every way with Alice 27.
Yes, of course. That is exactly why I hate you. Because you are identical.
Doctor, do I understand him correctly? Are you casting me in the role of Satan?
Not at all, Captain.
Is there anyone on this ship who even remotely looks like Satan?
I am not aware of anyone who fits that description, Captain.
No, Mr. Spock. I think you would.
Mr. Spock is also one of your biological units, Creator?
Yes.
This unit is different. It is well ordered.
Mr. Spock. Explain.
Why not? Logic is a little tweeting bird chirping in a meadow. Logic is a wreath of pretty flowers which smell bad.
Are you sure your circuits are registering correctly? Your ears are green.
Well, opinion? I think we're in a lot of trouble.
That's a great help, Mr. Chekhov.
Well, I think Mr. Chekhov's right. We are in a lot of trouble.
Spock, and if you say we're in a lot of trouble...
We are.
I always thought Spock was a bit of a pirate at heart.
Indeed, gentlemen. May I point out that I had an opportunity to observe your counterparts here quite closely. They were brutal, savage, unprincipled, uncivilized, treacherous. In every way, splendid examples of Homo sapiens, the very flower of humanity. I found them quite refreshing.
I'm not sure, but I think we've been insulted.
I'm sure. No, no, Mr. Spock, that isn't the way you place this arm under here to support its back, and this hand here to support its head. I would rather not. Thank you.
Mr. Spock, hey, you're the science officer. Why don't you explain it to the young lady?
Well, I believe it's safe... safe to assume that they would receive the necessary instructions from a machine that I'd like to see.
Well, he did have a pet sailor he was very fond of.
Solid?
It's sort of a fat teddy bear.
A teddy bear? Teddy bear? Not precisely, Doctor. On Vulcan, the teddy bears are alive, and they have 6-inch fangs. My congratulations, Captain. Dazzling display of logic.
You didn't think I had it in me, did you, Spock?
No, sir. You're gonna leave here without them? And run off on some wild goose chase halfway across the galaxy just because you found a discrepancy in a hydrogen cloud? Doctor, I'm chasing the Captain, Lieutenant Uhura, and Ensign Chekhov, not some wild aquatic fowl. This is the only lead we've had.
Fortunately, this bark has suitable tensile cohesion.
You mean it makes a good bolster?
I believe I said that.
Captain, thank heaven.
Mr. Scott, there was no deity involved. It was my cross-circuiting to be that recovered them.
Well then, thank pitchforks and pointed ears.
Close enough to smell them.
That is illogical, Ensign. Odors cannot travel through the vacuum of space.
I was making a little joke, sir.
Extremely little, Ensign.
Mr. Spine.
All right. There's something wrong about a man who never smiles, whose conversation never varies from the routine of the job, and who won't talk about his background.
I see.
Spock, I mean that it's odd for a non-Vulcan. The ears make all the difference.
I find your arguments strewn with gaping defects in logic.
Maybe, but you can't evaluate a man by logic alone. Besides, he has avoided two appointments that I've made for his physical exam without reason.
That's not at all surprising, Doctor. He's probably terrified of your beads and rattles.
Most curious creature, Cat. Its trilling seems to have a tranquilizing effect on the human nervous system. Fortunately, of course, I am immune to its...
It's faster than walking.
But not as safe.
Are you afraid of cars?
Not at all, Captain. It's your driving that alarms me.
Spock, I've got the hang of it now. Go on.
Oh? I always thought that was a human failing, Mr. Spock.
True, Doctor. Constant exposure does result in a certain degree of contamination.
Now you'll find yourself back among us illogical humans again.
Which I find eminently satisfactory, Doctor. For nowhere am I so desperately needed as among a shipload of illogical humans.
Touché, Holmes.
Oochie-woochie-coochie-coo, Captain.
An obscure Earth dialect, Mr. Spock. Oochie-coochie-coochie-coo. If you're curious, consult linguistics.
Now listen, Spock, you may be a wonderful science officer, but believe me, you couldn't sell fake patents to your mother.
I fail to understand why I should care to induce my mother to purchase falsified patents.
Nobody helps nobody but himself.
Sir, you are employing a double negative.
Huh?
Logic. Logic. I'm sick to death of logic. Do you want to know how I feel about your logic?
Emotional, isn't she?
She has always been that way.
Indeed. Why did you marry her?
At the time, it seemed the logical thing to do.
Shut up, Spock. We're rescuing you.
Why, thank you, Captain McCoy.
Your uniform, Captain.
Yes, it's a shame yours isn't as attractive as mine. Gestapo, I believe.
Quite correct. You should make a very convincing Nazi.
Representing the High Tier, Leonard James Akar.
The child was named Leonard James Akar.
Has a kind of a ring to it, don't you think, James?
Yes, I think it's a name destined to go down in galactic history, Leonard. What do you think, Spock?
I think you're both going to be insufferably pleased with yourselves for at least a month. Sir.
Spock, you're alive.
Obviously, Captain. You realize that the aim will, of course, be very crude.
I don't care if you hit the broadside of a barn. Just hurry, please.
Captain, why should I aim at such a structure?
Captain, you are an excellent starship commander, but as a taxi driver, you leave much to be desired.
But they do like Vulcans. Well, Mr. Spock, I didn't know you had it in you.
Obviously, tribbles are very perceptive creatures, Captain.
Obviously.
I'm beginning to understand why you Earthmen enjoy gambling. No matter how carefully one computes the odds of success, there is still a certain exhilaration in the risk.
Very good, Spock. We may make a human of you, yes.
I hope not.
I was just trying to make conversation, Spock.
It would be most interesting to impress your memory engrams on a computer, Doctor. The resulting torrential flood of illogic would be most entertaining.
Hopefully you enjoyed that tribute to Leonard Nimoy and that trip down memory lane of the original Star Trek series. Some things you may not know about Leonard Nimoy was that he was a photographer and also in the early 50s was in the military. Let me bring that up here. In the early 1950s, Nimoy served as a member of the United States Army Reserve. He served for 18 months in special services at Fort McPherson in Georgia and received a discharge in 1955 as a sergeant. Unfortunately, Nimoy's Army personnel file was destroyed in 1973 during a major fire at the National Personal Records Center in St. Louis, Missouri. In December, Nimoy announced his retirement from acting in 2002 and his plans to spend his retirement as a photographer. He came out of retirement to play Spock in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. Regardless, Nimoy thereafter enjoyed a new career in his senior years as a professional photographer, showing his prints all over the United States and throughout the world. With all his Hollywood credits and movies and photography, and Leonard Nimoy did live long and prosper. So our salutes to you on this podcast. Next up on the podcast is a crybaby of the week. It's time once again to marvel at some idiots who don't know how to handle the world. Let me bring this up here. Crybaby number one, Bill Riley. Got a picture of him here, nice suit and tie. The incident was a garbage man who started his shift early. The appropriate response would be asking him to start on time. If this creates an issue, possibly some kind of time fine for repeat violations. The actual response was he was sentenced to 30 days in jail. Earlier this month, a Sandy Springs, Georgia garbage man named Kevin McGill started his garbage pickup at 5 a.m. As there is a city ordinance limiting the collection of garbage to between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., McGill was cited for a violation, then sentenced to 30 days in jail to be served over a series of weekends, as Vice reported last week. It was terrible. I didn't want to go in, McGill told me. I don't know what to expect, and when I got there, it was worse than anything I could have imagined. In addition to spending long weekends in jail, according to his lawyer, McGill will also spend 6 months on probation, during which time he will pay a set of monthly fees to the city. Sandy Springs spokesperson Sharon Crown says that the early morning garbage truck noise is not something the city will tolerate. The harsh sentence was requested by prosecutor Bill Riley, pictured above, who told local network WSB that fines just don't seem to work. The only thing that seems to stop the activity is actually going to jail. Riley, who deserves to be bundled up and thrown back into the back of McGill's truck because he is fucking garbage, defended the harsh sentence to the network, saying that local residents have been calling 911 when the garbage collectors come early. The good news is that after the media backlash over the sentences, charges against Kevin were dropped earlier this week. In a statement, the Sandy Springs Solicitor's office wrote, "These are times when taking a step back provides the opportunity for a better perspective. At the time the charges were dropped, Kevin had spent 2 days in jail." Yeah, I think I'd go on a rampage and take my garbage truck and start dumping garbage over all the city officials who had a part in that original sentencing. Now we're moving on to crybaby number two, some unnamed Chuck E. Cheese customer. The incident was a photo booth broke at Chuck E. Cheese. The appropriate response probably would have been to use a different machine, but the actual response was a gang of customers attacked the restaurant staff. On Sunday evening, a group of unidentified people were celebrating a child's birthday at Chuck E. Cheese in Parma, Ohio. As they were settling their bill, the group reportedly complained that a photo booth inside the restaurant was not working. It's not entirely clear what happened next, but according to a report on Cleveland.com, a manager came and spoke to the group, and they were dissatisfied with the manager's explanation. According to police, several members of the group followed the manager back to the restaurant's kitchen area. Once in the kitchen, security camera footage shows several people, including the man in the orange shirt pictured above. Got a picture of him. He looks like he's dressed appropriately for Chuck E. Cheese. He launched an attack on 6 staff members. 5 Chuck E. Cheese workers required hospital treatment for injuries sustained in the incident, which Parma Police Lieutenant Kevin Riley described as a vicious, unprovoked attack. At the time of this writing, no arrests had been made in connection with the attack. Who is the bigger crybaby? You can let me know at randyms12@gmail.com. Who exactly are we hiring as the president's Secret Service staff? Here's an article in Vice. It says the Secret Service is still drunk and dysfunctional. And pop this news story up here. Yesterday morning, news broke that 2 Secret Service agents drove a car into the White House security barricades. The accident allegedly occurred on March 4th after an all-night rager and involved high-ranking officials. As if driving into the building you're supposed to guard wasn't already a massive fuck-up, rumors that the security brothers might have driven directly into a potential bomb site emerged yesterday afternoon. According to the Washington Post, earlier that night, a Pennsylvania woman had jumped out of her car and approached an agent near the southeast entrance to the White House with a package she claimed was a bomb. After she sped off, injuring the agent in the process, the area naturally became a subject of a delicate investigation. Enter our drunken heroes, the Secret Service, who not only disrupted the scene but allegedly drove right over the package. The Washington Post has reported that the driver's supervisor convinced cops to let the agents off the hook and not give them a DUI test. That's bullshit. They should be tested just like anybody else. That means we'll technically never know if the agents were wasted while they drove into the building they're supposed to protect. But if history is any indication, the Secret Service can't handle their liquor. In April 2012, a huge scandal broke with an alcohol-fueled bacchanal in Colombia, led to a bunch of agents hiring strippers. Although that embarrassing incident led to a new code of conduct that barred agents from drinking 10 hours before starting work, the reform didn't stop them from raging. Obama also brought in the first ever woman director, Julia Pearson, to try and clean up the agency's frat boy culture. It didn't work. In March last year, 3 agents were sent home from Amsterdam after one was found passed out in a hotel hallway. It's natural to ask why these accidents keep happening, even as higher-ups scramble to prevent them. And the answer might be because addiction is hard to stamp out with the finger wagging, according to some experts. Alcoholism is rampant in the Secret Service. Pearson stepped down over a series of humiliating security breaches last month. Joseph Clancy took over to try and finally clean up the Secret Service, a task that's starting to seem impossible. It's unclear why alcohol is so entrenched in the culture of the Secret Service, or why its members are disproportionately involved in booze-soaked scandals as compared to those of other government agencies like the FBI. One reason could be that they've been historically much more lenient with drinking and driving than other law enforcement offices. That reputation could keep bad apples around longer or attract people with predilections for partying who might otherwise become air marshals or FBI agents. But basically, no one knows why the Secret Service can't get its collective shit together, and Obama Lee is reportedly disappointed about the latest high-profile blunder. And while he might be doubting the ability of his new appointee, he's got to at least be publicly hopeful that something will finally change and that this is the last scandal. Nobody has higher standards for the Secret Service than Director Clancy, a White House spokesman told the Associated Press. Maybe the Secret Service could chain President Obama to his desk and keep him there to do some work, some actual work, besides spending time, so much time on the golf course and on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Maybe that's the attraction of being president, why so people want to be that. It definitely isn't the pay compared to what some of them make in the outside world, but just travel on Air Force One and fancy living arrangements and meals. I can see why some people would want to become president. And then they can go off, build their libraries after they're done, and make $200,000 or whatever it is for giving speeches after their term in office is done. By the looks of the clock on the wall, it's time to put this podcast to bed and post it to the interwebs. I'd like to thank everyone who's listened to this program. I'd like to thank you, and especially you for listening, whether you listen by laptop, desktop, iPad, pod, or phone, MP3 player, Android phone, home, office, or car, however you listen to it. Thank you. And if you found my website, you'll notice that there's infotainmentpodcast.com. There's a little PayPal donation button if you'd like to financially donate to my efforts here. And also, you can subscribe by iTunes. Or you can do a search of infotainmentpodcast.com or infotainment podcasts on iTunes. In the comedy podcast section, you can rate and review the program, which would be greatly appreciated. And also, I wish everyone have a great weekend, and talk to you next time. Bye bye, folks. Let's get on it.
start low. Some people think they're gonna die someday. I got news, you never got to go.
Look out! Hey! Yeah! Happy Independence Day, baby! Come on, come on.